Could you clarify the question a little bit more?
So the current activities you're taking right now to balance the budget for the school department, we're talking about timing.
Yep.
There's two scenarios. If the resolution does not pass, I'm assuming what you spoke about and coming up with a balanced budget for February 28th. If it does pass, what is your intention?
If it does pass, we continue on doing what we're doing here. We draw it down as much as possible, and then when the committee gets uncomfortable, we turn it over to the commission. Okay. Just so that way, you know, they can go on further and give everyone confidence. But I feel confident in the current committee and the administration that we can execute this. So we'll go as far as we can go is my answer tonight.
Okay. One last question. I know I'm going to put you on the spot. I hate the word if.
Yep.
And I've heard it 4 times.
Yes, sir.
In your initial comment.
Yep.
If scares the crap out of me.
Yep.
All right. Because we are in a very sensitive situation. So I will propose this as, you know, a thought is if this passes tonight.
Yep.
It's 30 to 60 days before it even gets to the General Assembly and, you know, whether it passes or not. If what you say is true, the commission is useless. We don't need it because you'll already have that solved, correct? Because you'll already have worked with the audit.
No, counselor. Part of the sunset piece of the legislation says that the commission not only is involved through the approval of the 5-year plan, but also the upcoming fiscal budget. You're not going to have a fiscal budget developed for the upcoming year. We'll have a number, but as far as line item budgets, you know, expenditures, that's going to take, we've just started the process. We've just started to build that budget. So if you're asking me tonight, will we have fiscal year 26 budget fully developed by February 28th? No, but will we have the 5-year corrective action plan developed by then? Absolutely, because we want to continue to address the statute and those requirements and get this addressed as quickly as possible. But yeah, the legislation would still be in play here, and you would have people from outside the city that would be coming in, and they would be essentially making the decisions on how we spend the money in the upcoming fiscal year. But I would just challenge also that even if we put together, I'm saying we'll have before you the 5-year plan by February 28th, because that's what the superintendent committed to in that letter that you received from the school committee. However, that doesn't necessarily mean you accept it, nor does that mean the auditor general accepts it. There might be 2, 3, 4 iterations of it. You might say, you know what, still a little too rich in FY28. What are you gonna do? You might have multiple questions because of OMA. There might be a lot of back and forth. Meetings of the council, meetings of the committee. So, you know, we're dealing with those statutes that might delay us a little bit in, you know, the second and third revisions. And so in that case, the legislation that's before you this evening would still be a play as well.
So I view our body as a reasonable body. And also, once the legislation is passed, the appointments still need to get council approval. That could take 2 or 3 iterations. Okay. What I'm trying to get at, Chairman, is you have the confidence that you'll be able to solve this problem for the city.
Yes.
With a bunch of ifs. All yeah. I'm saying is if you can solve it and we have the confidence, and I do with our conversations and with the conversation of others, very confident that you will be there. But I got this but and if that's hanging over my shoulder is if it doesn't happen, if we turn around in May and we don't have a solution and we're in the budget season, and if we do not have some type of forward-looking projections, it basically stymies not just the school department but the city. We will have a lot more challenges with the budget. So all I'm saying is, I view the legislation as Plan B. All right, in my head, Plan A is we elected you, We have confidence in you, and we think you can do it. But, there's my but, we've had a history of former school committees that have come before us and asked for a budget, and it doesn't match up. So all I'm saying to my fellow counselors is, Plan B is what we have here. We get the ball rolling on that. Plan A is we work together, continue work together with the experts that you have and solve this issue. Since the requirements by the Auditor General are the same, it's in your control, it's in the school administration's control to keep control and autonomy to solve the problem. The challenge we have, and we talk about confidence, we want to have confidence. By doing that, we'll create confidence because we'll be working together beforehand. But we want to have a plan B.
No, that's a great point, Counselor. If I could just address, should the legislation pass, though, and it goes at the rate of speed that's been discussed, and if we continue to work on this, the moment the legislation does pass through the State House, well, then we just stop. So now you have five people that are coming in at a very difficult time for the city. There's a major risk here. You're in the month of May when you need to finalize your city's budget, legislation approved, commission members appointed, and then now you need to hurry up and pass a budget? Seems a bit dangerous. Could be very dangerous because then you have to get the budget over to the mayor, who then supplies it over to the state. So I like your plan B. I think we apply it. If plan A doesn't work, then bring this right back to the council. So there's a possibility here for a table, but if you pass it tonight, the moment plan B becomes enacted, could happen at a very risky time and all of us get caught in a difficult situation.
So you're saying if the legislation passes,
yes,
let's say it's 4 weeks from now.
Yes.
I can't imagine any legislation is going to get quicker. Let's say 4 weeks. So you're telling me 4 weeks brings us close to the end of February. Are you saying that the work that you do from now until then is not going to be useful in?
No, it's certainly going to be useful, Counselor. Okay. Absolutely. But there's multiple activities here. It's drawing down the current FY25 deficit, development of the five-year plan with the corrective actions for the Auditor General, and then third is preparation of the FY26 budget. So there's three massive activities that are going to be going on at once. So if this legislation passes, even in 8 weeks, call it the end of March, well, then you're going into the month of April. You've given that commission basically 4 to 6 weeks to put together a budget for the school district, and that commission could be composed of individuals that don't necessarily understand the inner workings of Warwick Public Schools.
Last question, I apologize. I promise I'll give up the mic. The current consultants you're working with now.
Yes.
Who are they? Where do they come from?
Diane Brennan and Mary King. We actually began to engage. So taking a step back to last year when the school committee became concerned regarding the figures being presented to us by the administration, we immediately froze discretionary spend, so we didn't continue that trajectory towards the worst case scenario, $9 million figure. It's at that moment that we contacted our attorney and asked that we wanted an outside financial consultant to come in. Initially, it was Mary King, but Mary said she couldn't do it, and so she brought us Diane Brennan. And actually, Diane Brennan is well known to the city of Warwick because she was previously the financial auditor who worked for the city council. So she's done a fantastic job. She came in, she uncovered financial administrative practices that were inefficient, areas where we needed to tighten up. She's come up with a bunch of recommendations for us. So our five-year corrective action plan not only looks at fiscal stability, but ways that we can improve financial management as a whole.
Mr. President, can I make a comment on this? Okay. Councilman, there would be a safeguard in place. We can pass the legislation, and if we think they're making significant progress, I can simply not appoint people. And if you don't think, you know, there's another safeguard, you could just not approve my appointments. Right, so we could slam the brakes on it, but I wouldn't want to start with the legislation two or three months from now. Could be too late by then.
You're all set, Councilman Mito? For now. Councilman Napa?
Thank you, Mr. President. Can I stand? Can I stand to speak? Is that allowed? I'm new to this. My first question is for Chairman Galligan. Just to clarify, it seems as though you're alluding to the fact that if this legislation passes and when it gets enacted by the House and the Senate from the state level, that you're not going to continue to work with the commission to ensure a smooth transition of information and power. Is what you're, what I take from what you've said?
No, sir. That's let me clarify. When this legislation takes over, based on the components of the legislation, you see that they would have all of the powers relative to financial management and spend. So as far as information transfer, that's more of a commission and administration. That wouldn't be a school committee thing.
But if you've done a lot of legwork since from day one,
yes,
we've looked at in December until the point, the appointment at the state level, I guess my question to you is, would you be committed to provide your information and support to that commission? Or would you, on behalf of the city school committee, back off and say, well, here you are, this is the bed you've made, now lay in it alone?
I'm committed to the taxpayers of Warwick who elected me to the school committee. However, I'm also bound to whatever rules and regulations there are by statute. So if this legislation were to pass, I would work up until that point. But I would certainly help out in any way that I could. But again, I'm bound to rules and regulations and laws, just like you guys are as well. But I'm committed to the taxpayers, and so working hard for them each and every day is what I'll continue to do. And
that's what I expected of you, as I respect you greatly in your efforts. And I do think that you, along with the rest of the city school committee, rather, are very genuine in your efforts. Now, just to clarify your cuts, you made a lot of mention to your cuts, your $6 million cuts. Somehow, magically, $6 million in cuts were made overnight. I challenge that because from what I've seen and conversations you and I have had, some of those quote-unquote cuts are more of just a rollover to the following fiscal years. Delays in maintenance to the buildings that have a direct impact on our teachers that many have turned out tonight and our students. Delayed contributions to pensions that affect our WISE union. Many, many cuts to pay to personnel, which have a direct effect on our students. But my biggest concerns are those rollovers that we're quantifying as cuts. They're not cuts. It's sleight of hand. Let's call it what it is. We're just rolling over. We're rolling over what is today's problem and making it tomorrow's problem. So maybe it looks optically good for a fiscal 25, but it's going to look terrible for fiscal 26. And those are my larger concerns. Now, I understand what you're trying to do, and you only have so much you can do in a very short period of time. But let's be careful how we're classifying the reductions in fiscal 25's budget from cuts versus rollovers of the debt to future years. And it's not an amortized over 5-year rollover. We're just kicking the can to 26. So let's not make the problem worse, I guess is what I'm saying. The second point I wanted to make, well, question, and I wish that there was a member of the administration here. One of the two, I think, probably could have spared themselves from that meeting to come here and stand with the school teachers that they're supposed to represent and manage. But you've apparently become the scapegoat to take all of our questions, and I apologize for that, but you're here.
Understood.
Was it known by and through a memorandum produced by Mr. Ball, by Director Ball, that there was a $2 million deficit in August of 2024?
That's a very pointed question, and it's regarding the administration. I'm not going to be able to answer that question. However, I believe that might have been relative to one of the items that you reached out for and that they provided, correct?
That is correct. So I'll answer that question on behalf of the administration. Yes.
Thank you.
There was a known $2 million deficit in August, yet that was not reported to the Office of the Auditor General. Now, flash forward from August, 4 months, 2 becomes 9. Almost $500,000 a month overspending in the budget in 4 months. That's reckless at best. And I'm not saying it was you or any members of the school committee, but someone should be held accountable. And those someones are not here to stand before us and before the public and before the school teachers that are here tonight. Now, that reckless misappropriation of the funds, wherever that bleeding came from and however it arose, is putting their jobs at risk, the welfare and well-being of our students at risk, and the financial stability of our entire city at risk. Now, what you're asking, Mr. Galligan, when you're asking us to not support this legislation, is to hand back over to the people that either ignored the problem when it was known in August and didn't report it to anyone, or at least give them the tools to correct the problem now. Why did we wait so long to take corrective action? Why did we wait so long to stop discretionary spending? That's my question.
And yeah.
Those haven't been answered. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Nope.
Those haven't been answered in any way.
If I could just clarify.
Of course.
So what I'm not asking is for you to ignore the resolution before you tonight, and that we all just get up and walk away and everybody goes back and does what they were doing before. What I'm saying is the school committee, as stated to the counselors on Sunday evening in a letter, as well as the administration, welcomes additional oversight. We're asking for that oversight to be of locally elected people, and that, you know, based on all the concerns that we've heard from the council for the last 4 weeks, in addition to the mayor and his administration, that's how that plan got put together. You know, hearing about renewing the public's trust and confidence, additional financial oversight and in a public manner. So that would be the finance subcommittee and so on. So we're not asking you to just give it back to the school administration and walk away. Certainly you should expect some sort of, change in action here. And we're just saying we don't agree with the course of action that's being taken. We think that the other oversight manner is far more appropriate.
Understood. I would challenge some of what you said by so far as why wasn't there as much transparency prior? You and I have had a good conversation about a infighting amongst government, whether it be local or a national level,
yep,
is not the way forward for anyone. I think we can all here agree to that. Now, there have been issues before this administration, certainly before I took office, that there was the veil of secrecy over the school department and the school committee and the budget and the spending. And the school department is designed by charter to be an autonomous unit. Fine. I think one thing that runs afoul of our city charter is asking the school, the city council rather, to have a weigh in on how spending occurs, if I understand what you were suggesting.
Yeah,
that would require a change in the charter, which we don't have time for.
We're not necessarily asking you to help us manage the school department. What we're looking to do is just kind of memorialize the actions that should be occurring anyways between the city council and the school committee, so that way everybody stays informed. Certainly at those meetings, there's not going to be any votes taken because neither party can vote on the other person's business. But this would be just kind of a collaborative working meetings and then presentations in front of the public.
So making my point for me, why wouldn't we have memorialized that prior? Why wouldn't we have a very open line of communication between the school department, the school committee, and the city council and the administration? Can't we do that?
Yep.
Whatever the outcome is of this resolution.
Yep. Great question. So prior to this matter coming before you, I believe I can only speak for the last 12 months. My colleague, Mr. Tessa, can maybe speak to the 12 months prior to that. But for the last 12 months, the conversations between the council and the school committee have been what I would consider satisfactory. Whenever there was an issue with one of our facilities, it was a quick message to whoever was council president. If there was an issue, certainly would reach out to an appropriate counselor within my district, and my other colleagues would do the same thing, biweekly meetings with the mayor. So now we're just adding additional layers on. It's not like we're just starting anything new. As you could see with the proposal, two of the items are already existing controls. We're just adding additional ones on to provide the council more confidence.
I appreciate that. I would encourage, no matter what the outcome of this resolution, that we continue that open forum of discussion so that there is no more veil, so that we have open government that is truly open and not, well, this is my ball, I'm running with it, you can't look at it.
Absolutely, Councilor.
So, and I thank you for that. And again, I'm sorry for piling on.
No problem.
You're the only one here. So one thing that I would like to touch on that you said, that you think that we have smart and capable or smart people in the council and smart people in the school committee that can figure this problem out.
Yes, sir.
And while I don't disagree that we do have smart, intelligent people in all of those elected positions, I think there's a very defined difference between smart and capable of solving a problem like this. There are people that are needed. There's an expertise in a certain, very certain skill set that is needed to correct a problem of this magnitude.
Yes,
and
sir.
While I can stand before you today and say that I think I'm pretty smart, I don't think I'm the smartest in the room, but I'm certainly not equipped to make a five-year budget deficit reduction plan. That is not in my wheelhouse. That is not in my toolbox. Now, I could help and assist, and I could certainly get up to speed with some learning curve, and I'm sure there are other people that can. But the city doesn't have time, and the school department doesn't have time, and these kids and these teachers don't have time for us to get up to speed and educate ourselves in what that fiscally looks like and in a responsible way.
I would agree.
I think that the interjection of experts that have done it for years is important and necessary. And there was some talk about the statutes that already exist. My reading of that statute, and again, that's my practice of law, is not geared towards government politics or that area of law, but my reading of that statute recently has sort of enlightened me to the fact that, and I think the Auditor General, and he can correct me if I'm wrong, that the capacity of the overseer in those statutes is in an advisory role only. Is that correct, Mr. Auditor General?
You are correct. Basically, we serve to basically monitor progress and try to ensure that the problem has to be solved at the municipal level. I have no authority to enact any kind of solution. Our job is to adopt the corrective action plan, and that's where most of our value comes in. And unfortunately, in a lot of cases, it takes forever to even get to a finalized corrective action plan for a lot of the reasons that you cited here. Lack of transparency. Again, that's just the way it's worked in my experience.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for that clarity. Now, with that being said, I think it's important to take a prudent course of action to put people in place. And I would urge my fellow council members to strongly consider supporting this resolution. I think it's come a long way from its infancy. There was some language that made a lot of people uncomfortable, and I applaud the mayor and members of the administration at the school side and the city council members who were a part of honing this into a point where it's workable. And it does give the commission the appropriate authority to effectuate change and not just bring in someone from an outside agency to be an advisor only, because we're just spinning our wheels then. We can get advisory opinions from anyone, but unless we have someone that can actually effectuate that change in an expedient and efficient manner, we've done nothing. So I think we need to, and I urge my fellow council members to support this legislation, support the administration, and I would urge everyone involved to look at this not as a hostile takeover or a power grab, but as a collaborative effort where we're all going to have a voice. There is a provision that the superintendent can have an appointee, and their administration can have a voice. There is a provision where the school committee has an appointee, and maybe it's their hired hand. Maybe she comes in and she takes over and she is their voice. And there is three members that are naturally appointed by the mayor and approved by the council that brings a voice from the legislative and the executive branch of the local government. So I would urge everyone to look at this not as a hostile takeover, like I said, but as a collaborative effort that we can show the constituency and show the teachers and show the students that we are all committed to work together. Maybe we don't like it. Maybe it's not a great pill to swallow, but we all swallow a little bit of it together and come up with a plan that's sustainable for the future. Now, I'm gonna end at that. I'll leave it there.
Thank you. Auditor General, please. Just piggybacking on what Councilman Knapp said, just quickly, my background, I'm a retired teacher. I spent 40 years in the classroom with 20 to 25 students in front of me, six periods a day for those 40 years. I was also the union president numerous times at Davies Career Tech. I served on numerous state commissions, specifically for school funding and also career tech education. So I have a little bit of background there. But like my colleague, I don't have the fiscal knowledge. I can get myself up to speed very quickly. My question, and I'm just following up, under current legislation, your role would only be advisory. So if the school committee and the administration comes up with a plan and you approve it, you're just saying that's a great plan. You have no enforcement. You cannot make them implement that. Correct?
You're correct. Yeah. The goal of the plan, though, to be clear, is not only to provide a solution and a roadmap, right? But it also becomes a management tool, right? It becomes a public document that hopefully increases communication as you pass future budgets. Because I don't care what plan you put forward for 5 years, it needs continual revision, right? There's going to be assumptions in that plan that need to be revisited. So again, becomes the more important aspect is it's a management tool. Mm-hmm. There's transparency to that, right? Everybody, however often you decide to meet and review it, revise it, provides good long-term planning. You're having some of these discussions about some of the difficulties the school department's going to have from a financial standpoint, right? Long before they're actually here. You're looking out years. So that's the importance of it.
But the legislation, the proposal that's in front of us, the resolution that we're asking the legislature to look at, that would have an enforcement. That would say, great plan. Now you need to implement it and make sure that plan is implemented. Am I correct in that?
So I know it's gone through some revisions, so I haven't actually gotten a chance to look at what's currently, because it's been revised, I think, several times. So again, you have it in front of you. I don't really want to give an opinion on that.
Can I have the mayor come up then, or one of his administration? I'm sorry, Mayor. I'll rephrase or restate. The current legislation, the resolution that's in front of us, it goes to the legislature. It not only creates a plan, it forces, for use of a better word, implementation. In other words, that's a great plan, but now you need to implement it.
Yes.
All right. So it's not just advisory. It's also implementing.
It once the Auditor General approves the plan, that is the plan.
All right.
And we crafted this very carefully, actually. The Councilman Napa talked about our first document we made. The speaker said, get something up here. I said, it's nowhere near done. And he said, just get it up here anyways. We worked on this continuously. And then we worked with a couple of the councilmen on it. We crafted it very carefully to not take any authority away from the school committee or the school department other than in this budget deficit. They're still running the school department. We were very careful about that. Did that answer your question? I'm sorry. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. President. So you're going to see me referring to some notes because I have specific information that I want to share. But I want to point out that while my comments, they're tough, and some of them are going to be hard, but I mean no disrespect to anyone in this room or outside of this room. As of this minute, I have not heard anyone say how we got here. We're sitting on a $9 million deficit, and no one has said how we got here. I've asked that several times, and the answer is, we don't know how we got here. Well, if you don't know how you got here, how am I supposed to have confidence in how you're going to fix it? There's a big difference between being proactive, as you've heard, and being reactive. Proactive is having your thumb on the pulse from the first heartbeat. Reactive is responding to something that you just discovered, but yet you don't know how you got there. We've heard there's going to be reductions. We're going to make some tough cuts. Well, one of the cuts, or list of cuts that I'm looking at, 2.8, almost 2.9 million, these are kick the can down the road cuts. You can color it, you can disguise it, you can call it whatever you please. The most of these are kick the can down the road cuts. We were told there's $150,000 of uncollected lunch fees. But yet, one of the cuts that the school committee is recommending is $25,000 in lunch bills. One of the cuts that is particularly disturbing to me, is $750,000 of cuts this year from the WISE pension contribution. That is particularly concerning to me, because what you're cutting today, you're going to put back tomorrow. You've already told us that tomorrow is going to be worse than today, and the day after that is going to be worse than the first two. So is it fair to say that today we're looking at $9 million, actually $10 million, as the mayor pointed out, plus whatever happened in 2024 that we don't know how that happened either? Is this cumulative? And 3 years from now, are we going to be sitting here discussing $30 million deficits? And this is, by the way, this is no surprise to anyone. It's no surprise to anyone in the school department, and it's no surprise to anyone that works for the schools, and it sure in hell is no surprise to me that we're sitting here having this conversation today. Because everyone was told about this financial crisis. We were told about falling off the cliff. Goes back to 2020, even before that. We're somewheres that we don't know how we got here, in spite of the fact that we're paying professionals to monitor the checking account, but we have to go out and hire two expert consultants to come in and figure it out. Doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. It's been said that this resolution, if it passes, it's going to give too much power to the mayor. How about the power of the school committee? We have three people. Think about this, three people who control 60% of the tax dollars on the school committee. Three people. Now that's some power. As of January 10th, there was no formal corrective action plan. At least nothing that I was told. Going forward, by numbers provided to us, the school department is projecting 3.25% year after year increase from the city. 3.25% year after year is what they are relying on to balance their budget. Going back to, I believe it was around 2022 fiscal year, the school department hired back 38 staff members that were laid off, I believe in 2020. Back then, the school department was cautioned. They were issued a funding cliff warning. A funding cliff warning. That's a pretty stern warning. That wasn't just today or yesterday, and it wasn't just in 2024. Some of the other cuts that I've seen in the numbers that were provided to us lead me to another problem, such as they're going to cut $100,000 in fuel oil. $100,000 out of $500,000 budget item. But there's a cliff note alongside of it that says, historically, we spend $350,000 to $400,000. Historically, we spend $350,000 to $400,000. They're cutting maintenance. What does that mean? Does that mean we don't clean the classrooms? Does it mean the bathrooms don't get cleaned? What does that mean? $928,000 worth of cuts from directors. What does that mean? Natural gas, a proposed cut of $200,000. It has a total budget of $1.2 million, but it says in the cliff note, historically, we use $1 million. Diesel budget, we're going to cut $162,000 out of a $573,850 budget. Historically, we use $350,000. My point is, these are line items that have been increased with anticipated forecasts of problems, because the word historically is there. It didn't say, we did a great job last year and we cut our fuel down by $100,000. It says historically. This is a dependence. This is a bad habit. This is a culture.
You have 1 minute, Councilman.
Has anyone else gone at over 10 minutes, including the chair of the school committee?
So both the mayor and the chair were invited to do a presentation, and then they were asked questions. So they haven't been at a point when they've been timed. They'll be timed if and when they decide to speak as a member of the public. As far as council members, nobody has exceeded 10 minutes at this time.
So the school department, back in, I believe it was the year 2021, had been, let's say, required to provide their actuary reports, submit a plan to the Auditor General. That was in 2021. On August 3rd of 2021, actually. And on October 20th, 2023, a new letter was sent to the superintendent of schools saying no corrective action plan had been received. That's 2 years. This is just an ongoing cumulative problem. This isn't anything new. Years ago, the school department spent $240,000 on coming up with a corrective action plan. Sorry, a consolidation plan, and dismissed it. Dismissed it.
Time's up, Councilman.
Thank you.
Any other council people? Someone say something? Sorry. So you can't speak unless recognized. Thank you. Councilman DeLuise?
I just have three questions. One's for Sean. I don't know where he went. Oh, there he is. Hi, Sean. The financial consultant, this Ms. Brennan, who pays her and how much does she make?
So the consultant works through our legal counsel. She makes, don't hold me to this, please. It's either $2 or $250 per hour. What we've done is we've restricted the total number of hours on the first project. So we basically said, how many hours do you anticipate this taking you? And that's when she said 40. So our attorney approved up to 40 hours worth of work to do that report. One thing I will say is Ms. Brennan, she was kind enough to go a little bit above and beyond. The initial scope of her work was to just kind of evaluate the FY25 situation while our finance director was still working to reconcile FY24. So that way the school committee didn't continue to spend money and we just kind of froze the trajectory we were going up on. She was then tasked to come in and just look at FY25. But what she also did is she started to look at kind of like some financial practices that should be instituted within the administration to strengthen things from a financial management perspective. So we got a little bit more bang for our buck there. And, so, and it's important to note also that our finance department is short staffed right now. So though we just spent that money on a consultant, we probably would have paid a couple more people within that department, not only their regular compensation, but benefits. So there's kind of a cost avoidance there right now.
So for $10,000, 40 hours, do you think that she can accomplish what she needs to accomplish, or is she going to be continuing?
So great question. That was for the exercise that was just performed in 2024. If this legislation were not to pass and we continue on doing what we're doing, sorry to keep dropping the ifs, Councilman Muto, but we're talking in theory here. Well, then essentially she's going to be splitting her time right now with another consultant, Mary King. So they would be splitting their time, 20 hours each. Right now, we don't have a controller in place. So again, there's also that cost avoidance as well. So we're not paying that salary at this moment. So we're able to cover their costs. They would work until we get to the point of hitting those thresholds that we prescribed, that we indicated, you know, the five-year plan that has to get to the Auditor General. That's how long they would work. Or until they tell us, you know what, we want to go back to being retired.
Okay. All right, I have a question for the Auditor General. So the members, if it passes, the three members that get elected, they have to get paid somehow. So what is your salary going to be, if I can ask that?
So I'm not on the committee. I would not be on the Budget Review Commission.
Okay, but you'd have to be getting paid for your time somehow.
I'm a state employee. This is part of my job, is being involved at the
municipal
level.
Okay, so in other words,
no bill coming from me to the city of Warwick.
Oh, okay. So in other words, it's not on the city's dollar.
No, I'm statutorily responsible to oversee municipal finance and take the duties that are given to me under the law, and it's part of my job.
That's great. That's better than $250 an hour.
Can I just say one thing?
I just have one more question.
Yeah, could I just, you had mentioned three members of the commission. There's going to be five members of the commission.
Well, there's three that are appointed and then two other ones, right?
That get appointed. Yeah. So there'll be five individuals getting paid per this commission. Plus staff.
Okay. I just have one question for Mr. Mayor, if I could. So it seems like a lot of concerns are one commission having a lot of power. A lot of concerns are the livelihoods of the, whether it's janitors, teachers, principals, vice principals. The contracts that were in place now, Is there a chance that they could be nullified by the cost cutting?
Absolutely no chance. It's in the legislation. They don't have that authority. I'm sorry. I said they have absolutely no authority to have any interference with union contracts, with the personnel decisions, any of that. That's all been crafted into there.
Okay. Okay. If I missed that, but I think people want to be assured that haven't seen, and okay, that's great. Thank you.
Any other questions or comments from the council? Councilman Gebhardt?
I had one question, I guess for the chairman. And so from our, we've had some preparatory meetings over the last couple of weeks to come up to speed on this and work through, what could be a workable resolution that we could put out here. And one of the items that was identified is that of that school department budget, there's $40 million in non-staffing expense.
That's correct, Councilman.
So you've got $40 million in non-staffing expense. And we've got a $9 million budget. So approximately a $9 million deficit.
Yes, sir.
Which is approximately 25% of that non-staffing spend.
Yes, sir.
In the budget. And we have a resolution here that doesn't have the ability to look at staffing or any real authority over staffing. So maybe this question isn't for you. Maybe I'm just asking the question out loud because we have to come to some sort of answer on it. But, how do we get comfortable that we're going to squeeze $9 million? Do we really believe that in that $40 million of non-spent staffing budget, that there's $9 million worth of fluff? Because if you don't, then we are impaneling a commission that doesn't have the ability to do anything. So I'd like to understand what ability the commission will have without those abilities included in the legislation. Not that I'm advocating they be added, not that I'm advocating that they be removed. I'm just trying to understand that out of that $40 million, where do we find nine?
Councilman, I don't know if this is a trap question because you were smiling, and I don't know if you're baiting me into giving you the answer that you think is in my head, but
I'm just a friendly guy.
Yeah. So your question's great. Approximately 78% of our budget is staffing related, right? That's salaries, bennies, FICA pension, all of that stuff. And then you talked about the $40 million in non-staffing, and then approximately $8 to $9 million is roughly, discretionary spend. So that's where the school committee really kicks in, is we can kind of say what we want to do. So in the immediate here, the school committee for FY25 is looking at that discretionary spend, drawing that down, plus doing, I'll quote Councilman Lattiser here and saying, moving the shells around. Playing the shell game, but really it's just moving the money around because we're a department that's an expense stream, an expense on the city. We cannot generate revenue. So what we need to do is then long-term, our five-year plan, is kind of transform how we operate as a district. A few years back, yes, it was mentioned that we went through a school consolidation plan, but actually a couple years prior to that, the city of Warwick was one of the only few cities that capitalized on reducing our maintenance of effort to the full 5%. So even after that consolidation, the school district had to make up time anyways and money. So those consolidations, they were just awash the cost savings because the district was playing catch up on what they needed to operate. So moving forward, what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to change completely how we operate to kind of grow that discretionary spend area. We also are working hard on addressing the unfunded mandates to provide additional free financial relief within the budget. But if this commission were to come in tomorrow, essentially the only thing they'd be effective at doing is stopping the school committee from having any say over spend.
Okay, thank you. I have a question for the Auditor General, if you have a moment. I guess it would just be the same question. Do you have any concerns about the capability of this commission to effectuate the kind of change that's necessary to get the budget within control without the ability of the commission to touch staffing, to look at contracts, et cetera?
So the exercise, right, that the city has to go through is getting a corrective action plan in place. So regardless, So essentially you have resources, right? That's what the budget commission comes in, brings a certain level of objectivity if you assign the correct individuals to it to oversee the problem. But it's resources, and you need to get to a corrective action plan that you have confidence in, right? The school committee is also going to have to be able to acknowledge that there's a corrective action needed. When it comes to me, it's all about achievability at that point. So it's a matter of getting the resources, because you need to do this quickly.
And is it acceptable in that corrective action plan that, you know, perhaps 2026 doesn't look that much better than 2025, but by 2027 and 2028, where maybe we can effectuate some changes on staffing or perhaps contracts
So the law does allow for a corrective action over a number of years, usually not more than five. So again, that's part of it, right? Where can you make cuts, right? Where can you achieve savings? That's what you have to look at. And like I said before, there's a lot of unknowns in that projection. It's going to have to be revisited. No one's going to hand over a five-year plan that's perfect. That's impossible. So again, it becomes a management tool. It becomes important for both the council and the school committee to revisit it, to use it as a management tool to basically effectuate the corrective action needed to reduce the deficit.
Thank you.
Councilman Ricks.
Thank you. I'm not sure who the best person is to answer this particular question, but does anyone have an estimate on how much the Budget Commission would be anticipated to cost between the five members and any staff that they may require? Thank you.
We haven't really talked about that. There could be a stipend offered up. We don't know that yet. They'd be entitled to a staff member. It could be a current city employee. We haven't done a lot of work on that because we didn't want to do work on something we didn't know if it was going to pass yet. I know Peter was on a budget committee and he received no pay. Apparently, he doesn't have his hearing aid in. Peter. Right. Traditionally, they don't receive a stipend.
Excuse me, I can't hear in this building, and I didn't have my.
I'll repeat.
My experience with. On the Woonsocket Budget Commission, we got paid mileage to drive up there, but there was no compensation. And matter of fact, I saw the Director of Revenue at that time, Friday, and she confirmed that for me.
Do we anticipate that we would be able to find highly qualified financial experts to serve as commission members without paying them a very significant stipend? I can't imagine that we would find those types of folks.
I had a call from someone I had a call from someone today who I consider very qualified, who was volunteering his time for that activity. So the fact that I got that one call makes me think that there are people who are interested. But the mayor hasn't gone through the recruitment process yet. How can he? So.
Are you all set, Councilman Ricks?
I suppose one last follow-up question on that is that I believe that I'm trying to find the precise line in this resolution that addresses this, that the Budget Commission may Here we go. Employ, retain, and supervise such managerial, professional, and clerical staff as are necessary to carry out its responsibilities. So, all subject to the city finance director's approval. So it seems that the resolution envisions that there would be certain staffing requirements here. I don't know how much of that would be simply a matter of using existing city or school resources versus, well, as it says, employ additional people. It seems like there is a financial impact here. Some people might know what thought is going through my mind here. I am not at this time going to call for a fiscal note because I think it's very important for the public to give input at this very meeting. But whether it's something formal in that form or whether we simply get a better idea of what we're looking at in terms of expenses here, here we are talking about a massive projected deficit. If we're looking at, okay, what's the best possible solution for that, perhaps we should know
Councilman Rich, your time is up.
Thank you. Have a rough idea of what this proposed solution would actually cost. Thank you.
So any other members of the council have any questions or comments? And bear in mind, you're obviously, we're all more than welcome to ask comments or questions after the public speaks as well. So it's not a do or die moment. All right, so there was a request made to take a 5-minute recess prior to public comment commencing. Does anyone have any objection to that? All right, seeing none, we'll recess for 5 minutes. We'll be back at 7:05 p.m.